And welcome back to the Reducer. Our summer break is over. The transfer window has slammed shut. Ha ha ha. Yes, loads of cop podcasts doing jokes about, oh, it slams, doesn't it? It doesn't close. Yeah, fuck off. Everyone does that. Not funny. Richard Keys, I'm looking at you, you unfunny hairy cunts. Anyway, it's always good to get started, isn't it? The way we mean to carry on. Hello, my name's Howard. I'm here, as always, with David Klein.
Hello.
And Dave Rothney.
Hello.
Hello. So it's transfer window opening and closing time and all of that. And what we thought we'd do is just pass comment on the transfers that have happened so far this year, with no doubt. The transfer window shut, but also no doubt with some, little bits of commentary as regarding various things that have happened in the world of football, if we get a chance. So what I wanted to start with was by saying, can you guess, Dave and David, can you guess the top four clubs, or rather the bottom four clubs, the four clubs who spent the least? And I will say three of them made money in the transfer window. So good luck. Would you like to have a crack?
I think Southampton.
Okay.
Are these Premier League teams?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, otherwise it's going to be Rushton and Diamonds, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just checking. Brighton.
Southampton, I was reading about Southampton, what they'd done.
Yeah. I think Brighton, they sold Cucurella for like 50 million and they must have made a fortune and spent very little.
Okay. Well, hang on. So far. Brighton are top of the tree. They were plus 57 million in the transfer window.
Wow.
So they're top. Then we've got second, third and fourth.
Leicester.
Leicester are second on 56 million, just 1 million behind Brighton. The difference being it hasn't affected Leicester. Brighton it hasn't affected, and Leicester are looking fucked.
Well, it hasn't affected them up to this point, but they've just lost the manager.
Yeah, now Potter's got true. Who's third? They made 31 million in the transfer window.
Man City.
Quite disgracefully, it ruins all football logic. That's right. Fucking Man City. You'd love to have a go at them for all the money they've spent and all the rest of it. No, they've actually finished £31 million plus on the transfer window. And as I heard somebody mentioning the other day, Michael Normanton of the Square Ball podcast, Man City getting Haaland. Yeah, it's cheating really, isn't it? and I couldn't agree more. So that was like, yeah, debate over. Got nothing else to say about it. It's just cheating. And who was fourth? They didn't make money, but their net spend was only 2 million.
Southampton, was it? No. Oh, no.
Leeds.
Well, they spent 91.8 million. But due to incoming fees, the net spend was just 2 million. Leeds United.
Well,
absolutely. And we all know, because it's fucking hilarious and they're shit. We all know who was top of the table.
Man United.
By some distance.
What, 203
million. And last time I checked, 203 million spent on about £50 million worth of talent. But everyone just saw him coming.
What about Chelsea? They must be... They spent a fortune. Did they bring anything in?
Spent about 280, didn't they?
Let's have a look. I'll give you Chelsea's position. Net spend, Chelsea were... different graphic. So Chelsea finished second behind Man U. Man U, 203 million. Chelsea, 199 million. And then, but, you know, one, two, three, fourth, Nottingham Forest, 135 million. And just a little side note here on Forest. They've continued to spend. Nothing can stop them. They've continued to spend after the transfer window closed. They got Serge Aurier on a free because he's out of contract. So the window doesn't count. So they bought their 22nd player of the transfer window, right? after the window closed, which now means you're allowed a Premiership squad, Premier League squad of 25 players. So they have three players in their squad who brought them up. Three.
God, that's and amazing.
It is, because nobody seems to be, everyone's going like, oh, they're buying lots of players, but no one seems to be talking about, we've never seen this before. We have never seen anything like this before. Fulham spent a bit of money once, but that wasn't on this many players. This is like, yeah, someone's just gone, has anybody ever done that before? No, right, fuck it, I'm going to give that a go.
That's a new squad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not just a new team.
22 players, yeah, it's two starting 11s, Dave.
Fucking hell.
I do think they should have sort of, in the transfer window, I do think we've got to the stage now where we need some sort of Black Friday arrangement goes on. Where there's one day where there's just like some discounts come up. You can have like Aubameyang 5% discount and a lawnmower.
Speaking of Aubameyang, he couldn't wait to get back to Chelsea and work with Thomas Tuchel again, which he did for all of 56 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you're a Chelsea fan, a Tory and a monarchist, right? You started the week. Monday, right? Thomas Tuchel was Chelsea manager. Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. And our dear Queen Elizabeth II was the Queen of England. By Thursday, you've got Graham Potter, Liz Truss, and Prince Charles. I mean, that's very much the fucking Carabao Cup side.
I tell you what, it brings a whole new meaning to, you know, fuck it, get rid of them and play the kids.
Yeah. I think we're a Carabao Cup country now, and that's done, isn't it? Which yeah. Is, yeah. Everybody thinks, who have they got on the bench? No one.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, I mean, that's not to disparage Potter, by the way. The other two, maybe, but Potter, I mean, I don't know, I'm sure we can talk about this if it's a bit off topic, but I don't know, and I'm always wrong. We can talk about how wrong I have been with all my predictions. But with Potter, you feel like history shows that he's one of those managers who's brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant at Brighton. And I feel sorry for Brighton because he's a brilliant manager. He's had no money to spend. He's built this team. And how many times, and Howard, with your encyclopedic knowledge, how many times we've seen this where this kind of promising manager who's brilliant at grassroots level gets a big job and suddenly he's got egos, politics, all of that goes on. And I mean, I hope he's the exception that proves the rule. But you feel like he's going in there and, you know, 6 months' time, it'll be like, that didn't work out.
Oh, yeah, I'm just thinking, because that's, you're right, that's happened. I can't think off the top of my head.
It shows your medals syndrome, isn't it?
It's
well, I've got a World Cup winner's medal.
Yeah, it's and like, who the fuck are you?
You know, you played for fucking Wigan, so...
You won the Finnish league or whatever, so what, you know?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I suppose Villas-Boas at Chelsea, he was an example of that. I mean, there'll be like I say, Howard will probably reel off a few, but it feels like there's a lot.
I'm trying... Well, the thing is, the problem here is, and actually, you've dug up a really good subject there. There isn't a long list. My encyclopedic knowledge is not going to help me anytime soon, because there are very, very few examples in the whole 30 years the Premier League has been around as to anybody doing this, because it's usually the managerial roundabout. You know, the merry-go-round, you get, you know, the usual candidates fall off, the usual candidates get back on. And I'm trying to think of the last time, certainly a top six club has not done this for years. I'd say the closest to it I can think of a top six club doing something like this would have been Arsenal employing Arsene Wenger. And it's because, you know, he did well in a foreign unknown league, Japan, but he had kind of proved himself in France.
What about, you know, Chelsea and Frank Lampard?
Yeah, no, we were talking about, you see, that was the name that came straight to mind, but Dave did say an outstanding coach who'd done really well elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'd done all right at Derby.
What he did was enjoy the financial doping that Derby were occupying at the moment. There's a reason why they've been relegated with fucking record points. No, I don't feel sorry for them. You did a fucking shitload of stuff that's against the rule, which included knocking us out of the playoffs in the semis with Frank Lampard and a load of players they couldn't afford to pay, but fucking paid them anyway. So, you know, that situation is bollocks.
There's got to be. It's really,
I shouldn't have said that without having done my research. So maybe that's one for the next podcast. I'll go away and do my homework and come back with some names that fall into that category.
Dave, come on! I don't think anyone's listening to this, hoping we've done our research.
Yeah, but there are. I mean, there was that Tottenham coach who, like last season, back end of the season before they appointed Nuno.
Steve Clark.
No, it wasn't.
Are you saying Scotland? You said the Scotland coach.
Tottenham coach.
Tottenham. Oh, right. Okay.
They're one of the ex-players, wasn't it? Who, when they sacked whoever they Mourinho.
Tim Sherwood.
Was it Tim? Yeah, there you go. Sherwood. I suppose he hadn't coached anywhere else. So no, it's a good point. It's a good point. Well, good luck to Graham Potter, is all I can say.
He's going to need it.
We will see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, someone said it's like,
I'll give him till Christmas.
I'll tell you what though, Man City with Haaland is scary. It's like watching a video game and someone's got it on cheat mode.
Yeah, well, the other thing, I like that comment you made out about it's just cheating. The other comment I read the other day, and I can't remember, it was some journalist, said that it's, I think it's Alistair Bruce Ball maybe, he was saying that it was like the first time you saw Jonah Lomu play for the All Blacks.
That is a great comparison.
Yeah, it's just you're going to win the league. You're going to win the Champions League.
Well, I wouldn't go that. I wouldn't sort of immediately jump to that. But I think in terms,
he's just an absolute beast.
He is a bit. Yeah, I mean that's what we're talking about. He's fit. I mean he's just. He looks like, you know, he's an under 18 playing for the under 12s. That's what it looks like every week.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is as well is his physicalities. Well, I tell you what. Let's crack on because he was a transfer and we can get to him, can't we?
Yeah.
So look, I'm gonna bash through a load of these because you know, a lot of them aren't gonna really, you know, mean anything, to be honest. So here we go. Let's start with Arsenal. Alexander Zinchenko, Gabriel Jesus, Matt Turner, Fabio Vieira, and Marquinhos. So that's transfers in. I mean, you know, what do we think to that little, you know, that little?
Well, up until the United game, they were doing very well, weren't they? And then the notion was they haven't got any leaders. That's what I kept hearing. There's no leadership. They need a Tony Adams. They need a Patrick Vieira. It's like, well, they were doing
all
right.
I'm sick of hearing this. It's like with Liverpool, which we can get on to. Everybody's writing them off. I mean, okay, the Napoli game, but pre-Napoli, I was reading double page spreads after they lost to Man United. There was a double page spread about how Liverpool have blown it, and then they beat Bournemouth 9-0 the next week. And I put it into the same category with Arsenal. I think, you know, that was just everybody loses games. I think Arsenal's great, and good thing about Jesus is he's got what he hasn't got at City, which is going to start every week. He's going to play as a striker, and he'll score goals.
Yeah, he's doing now what he came to England to do. It's just that he thought he'd be doing it at City and thought he could oust Sergio Aguero and they'd swap roles. Aguero would be on the bench and play wide. It just never happened. So like he's at last getting to do what he came here to do, which I think is great. What is actually more surprising about Arsenal's transfer business is getting rid of 13 players, outgoings, 13 players.
Wow.
There's a lot of housekeeping going on there. Arteta's been there a while now, and it's like, you know, it takes time to just really filter it out and, you know, get everybody in every position where you want, including, you know, outside of the first team in the youth teams and everything else. And I think he's doing a good job. And I heard some tosser, Richard Keys, call him Fraudiola. Which is just so lazy and obvious. And the thing is, he said it three or four times in his really cheesy, self-satisfied. Well, he was He was Guardiola's fucking right hand man for how many seasons?
So now he's his own person.
Well, yeah, but I can see how he's drawn the line and come up with the name Fraudiola.
Yeah, just a cheap shot.
Yeah. Anyway, I think you know. Look, Arsenal fans seem to be happy, and they haven't been happy for a fucking long time. And there hasn't been an atmosphere in the Emirates Stadium for a very long time, and there does appear to be one now. Something's going right. Anyway, Villa in. Leander Dendonka, Jan Bednarek, Ludwig Austinsson, Robin Olsen, Diego Carlos, Boubacar Kamara, who loads of people were after, and Philippe Coutinho.
Coutinho was last season, wasn't he? But I suppose he's gone permanent, has he?
Well, believe it or not, it was only May.
Right, okay. All right.
Yeah. Now, some good players in there. Boubacar Kamara, loads of people were after him. We were after him for a while as well. Very highly rated. But, I mean, it seems to be good business. But here's a question for you. What kind of football do a Steven Gerrard team play?
Yeah. I don't know.
Villa fans don't know. Gerrard wouldn't seem to know. And all I'm hearing, whenever I hear Gerrard's interviews, it involves passion and winning and fighting and challenging and running and effort. And I just think, he's sounding a little bit out of date there, Steve. I mean, that might have worked in Scotland, mate. But, I mean, just telling lads to try harder and hoof it faster and more. And I mean, you know, what exactly is Gerrard bringing to the party as a manager?
Yeah, I'm not convinced by him.
He made an impressive start, didn't he, when he first got there? Or maybe this...
Did he?
Not if you ask Villa fans. I think they got a few decent results.
Yeah, there's a quick few draws in there, wasn't there?
Yeah. And also Matty Target. A lot of Villa fans were pissed off that he was almost sold immediately to Newcastle. Where he's going great guns. It's weird because you can see a list of players there. There's definitely two or three who've gone there. For Gerrard, to play with Gerrard, to play for Gerrard. And there's a lot of talk about Gerrard being a figurehead for the club, but he's not so much involved on the training pitch. And I don't know. Is that what you heard? Yeah, I heard it on a football podcast on The Athletic, which is a fairly reliable source. And
didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, that's interesting. Say what's going to be interesting as well, World Cup coverage, because I'm not sure, but I think one station has signed up Gerrard and Lampard. Now, can they play them both as pundits? Or are they going to have to, like, you know, swap roles? Yeah, do different games. You know, which one of them's going to be the water carrier and which one's going to be allowed to break forward? Or are they going to keep swapping and allow each other to do that? You know, and of course, if they're both in the centre, that means, you know, Paul Scholes is going to be out on the left. He'll be out on the right, and Joe Cole will be out on the left. So, you know, England midfield as pundits. Right. Next up. By the way, load of people left Villa as well. Bournemouth. A load of players you've never heard of. Jack Stevens, Marcos Sensi, Neto, Marcus Tavernier, Joe Rothwell, and Ryan Fredericks. Released, the only player to leave, was Gary Cahill, who has retired.
I mean, I'm showing my ignorance here, and it's just a cheap shot. You know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
Neto. Did they go for Aldi and Lidl as well?
Neto is actually the classiest of the transfer. They got him from Barcelona.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm ignorant about Bournemouth to every degree.
To be fair, this transfer window, I think every single club in Europe either got a player from Barcelona or sold one to them.
Yeah, right.
It's all a bit mental. But poor old Scotty Parker with his striped fucking armband on his fucking... He'd be the most fashionable guy in the dole queue right now. Most fashionable guy on benefits. Anyway, it's Bournemouth. Who fucking cares? Next club. Another one. Brighton. B Billy Gilmore from Chelsea, which for our Scottish listeners, there you go. Turns out that's how brilliant he is. Yeah, he's been sold to Brighton for 9 million. Your big hope for the future, your Paul Gascoigne of the next generation, was sold for 9 million to Brighton, who are now managed by no one.
Yeah. So what? I'm assuming you don't. Is it you don't rate him, Howard?
Well, and we've also got Purvis Estupinan, Levi Colwill, Simon Andrigra, and Julio Encencio. So, but to get back to Billy Gilmore, it just makes me laugh that, like, every time I hear a Scottish person talk about Billy Gilmore, they genuinely sound like they're talking about the next coming of the of Maradona or something. And he's never played a game for Chelsea, and he's now been sold to Brighton for 9 million. So, like, you know, really, maybe you need to just deal with the fact that he's not as good as you thought he was, you know?
I don't know. I think it's easy for us to say, as England fans, where you've got... I mean, we've had it ourselves sometimes, where you go into a period of mediocrity in your national team, you kind of grab at anything. I remember when Lee Hendry was going to be the next Gascoigne.
True.
And Scott Parker, you know, there were these players that we all pinned our hopes on, oh, this could be, because you're right to mention Gascoigne, because that's the player we've sort of been trying to replace. But yeah, so Gilmore, I saw him a bit. I thought he was, he's quite young now, isn't he? Or is he one of these that's now 27?
No, he is still quite young. And he is also, I think basically, I think he's quite young, but he's also quite lightweight. The thing is, Billy Gilmore needs to play in a team like Man City. He needs to play in a team where, you know, it's kind of ticky tacka. There's a lot, you know, there's short, you know, gifted midfielders.
Yeah.
Short gifted midfielders who are protected by, you know, a few hard men. And they can weave their magic. And, you know, clearly that wasn't happening at Chelsea. And whoever is going to be managing him at Brighton, we'll just have to see what happens there.
But I mean, obviously this predated Potter going to Chelsea, but you sort of feel, to echo earlier, that, I mean, Brighton's a very well-run club. They seem to know what they're doing. So, I mean, maybe Potter had a plan for him, but we'll never know.
Yeah. Well, moving on to Chelsea, we've got Dennis Zakaria, Pierre-Éric Aubameyang, Wesley Fofana, Cesare Cassidy, Mark Cucurella, Carney Kukawemeka, Gabriel Slonina, Kailu Kalabai, and Raheem Sterling. Their manager must be well happy with their transfer business.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking this the other day, and I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but it feels like Chelsea have signed a ton of players in the last sort of 2 to 3 years. So there's that whole wave of like Havertz and Werner and the centre forward whose name, Lukaku.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of churn going on. It needs stability. But I think, yeah, I mean, Sterling, similar to Jesus, really. I think if they play him through the middle, play him every week, he will miss chances. I mean, that's the thing about Sterling. He doesn't score. He's not a killer. But I mean,
he's not a centre forward.
No, he's not a centre forward. Where would you play him then?
Yeah, but he's not a centre forward who can get you 20 goals a season.
Yeah.
So do you know what? I think he's the kind of player where you go, hey, Raheem, where do you want to play?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why he's gone there. Because they've said, right, okay, look, you know, if you can get 20 goals a season playing out of position, you know, or you know, does he see himself more as, you know, provider? But there's two interesting things about the outgoing players at Chelsea. Two outgoing players who've been let go for nothing, and as far as I'm aware, are still available and are out of contract and not playing for anyone. And they are Danny Drinkwater and Ross Barkley. And, you know, and there's the opposite of the Mason Mount story. There's the opposite of the Frank Lampard story. You know, where clubs buy players up, and yeah, it didn't really happen. and they don't really do much, and they just they fade away, you know. And Ross Barkley, really, he should be in his pomp at the moment. He should be, you know, absolutely at the top of his game. Instead, you know, probably wandering around Tesco's, wondering what the fuck's going on with his life.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that smacks of agents, you know, getting those big money deals for him. I mean, Drinkwater. I mean, it's both kind of sad. I feel sorry for Drinkwater. I mean, I think he's had quite a few problems, hasn't he? Personal problems. Barkley, I can't make my mind up whether he's had personal problems or whether he just hasn't applied himself at the level. But neither of them got enough game time, did they? And that's the problem. If you go from Leicester, where you've won the league, and you're, you know, the main one of two in pivotal midfield, to Chelsea, where you're just a squad player. It happened to Scott Parker. It happens a lot. I mean, I fear that it's going
to happen to Steve Sidwell.
Yeah, it's a perfect example.
The classic, you know, Mourinho quote. You know, well, you know, sometimes you you get used to shopping in Waitrose, but, you know, now I'm shopping in Tesco's, which was his description of buying Steve Sidwell, which must have done his self confidence a world of fucking good.
good on Jose, yeah.
Yeah. So Crystal Palace in Chris Richards, Cheick Doucouré, Sam Johnstone, and Malcolm Eboué.
Well, they're doing really well, aren't they, Palace? They're nice to watch as well. Play nice football.
It's funny you should say that, because Palace fans are a lot happier and all the rest of it. But the difference between where they finished under Vieira and where they finished under Hodgson, their points totals and the goals, it's all very similar.
Similar.
But it's the classic example of people virtually on revolting, wanting Hodgson out, and people going, oh, you know, Vieira's great, it's wonderful. And it's proof that it is an entertainment. And if you entertain people and get the same results as you did when you weren't entertaining, that is good enough for a lot of fan bases.
Yeah, good point. You sort of feel that, or I feel, again, it may be a trick of the mind, I sort of feel with Vieira that there's more to come, I suppose. I think I feel, but then maybe that's exactly your point. That's maybe why the Palace fans are excited, because they feel like, you know, this could be, you know,
start of something. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to smash through these. Right, Everton in James Garner, Idrissa Gueye, Neil Mopay, Amadou Unara, Connor Cody, Dwight McNeil, Ruben Vinares, and James Tarkowski.
I don't know whether this is the time for me to talk about one of my terrible predictions. I thought Lampard was going to be first for the sack, and actually they're doing okay. You know, he seems to be kind of stabilising it. I thought they were all over the shop at the start of the season, but I hadn't realised. That's interesting. I hadn't realised they'd signed that many players. I thought they'd...
Well, and what he's done is he's signed players from clubs around them, largely, you know, that of that ilk. So he's not gone for big, massive names, you know. So I think they'll be all right, Everton. I think they'll be sort of bottom half. But
well, probably the biggest name on there is Idrissa Gueye from PSG. Yeah. And he's coming back to Everton. He went from Everton to PSG.
Yeah.
However, I disagree. I think they're fucked. I think he's a shit manager, and I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be hovering all season.
Yeah, but there are clubs worse than them.
Yes, I mean that's always a relative game, isn't it? I think you're right. I think if, I don't know. I don't know how I kind of agree with you in a way. I really veer with Lampard. He's certainly not a great manager.
Well, also spent 20 million on Dwight McNeil from Burnley, who so far all he's managed to do is run around the pitch and pass it to opposition players. And that's quoting an Everton fan friend of mine who is just like, what the fuck does this guy do? Surely there's a reason we've bought him, because he would appear to be shit. that is genuine Everton fan quote. Okay, next up, it's Fulham. And Fulham on loan, Daniel James, know him well. Carlos Vinicius, Lavian Kouazara, Willian, we thought we'd seen the back of him.
Wow.
Issa Diop, Shane Duffy, Bernd Leno, Kevin Mbau, Mana Solomon, Andreas Pereira, and João Palhinha. That's your Fulham transfers.
They're doing all right. Marco Silva is I think he's always been a reasonable manager. He's never been given a fair crack of the whip at the clubs he's been at. It was at Everton, wasn't he?
I disagree. I think
Watford, he got the hoof as well.
Yeah, Everton was his big chance. And he spent a lot of money.
But he wasn't ready for it. This is the problem with anything. To refer back to what we were talking about at the start, he could do a Potter, Potter could do a Silva at Chelsea. So it's like, the thing I read was that Potter shouldn't have gone for Chelsea. He should have gone for a Villa, something a mid-table club, bigger than Brighton, but not a top club. And it was the same with Marco Silva at Everton. He wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, but you don't get to choose. And the moral of any footballer will say the same thing.
No, you've got to take the opportunity.
If you're offered something, you've got to take it because it may never come around
totally,
again.
But doesn't mean say you're going to make any success of it. So.
Well, no, but if you're in professional sport at the elite level, you have an immense amount of confidence bordering on arrogance. So that's why you go. Michael Owen went and signed for Real Madrid. He thought he could get Ronaldo off the fucking starting lineup. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. This is the arrogance of like elite.
Although his
sportsmen.
Hand was forced by Rafa, didn't really want him. So they had a bit of a spat.
True. Right. Leeds in. Wilfried Gonto, Joel Robles, Sonny Perkins, Luis Siniestra, Tyler Adams, Darko JB, Mark Rocker, Rasmus Christiansen, Brendan Aaronson. Well, if anybody has seen recently, if you're on Twitter or anything, just search Brendan Aaronson Leeds song, which is brilliant because they've changed all the lyrics to American Boy. And it is just superb. It really, really is. And a DJ on Radio 1 played it and then played the instrumental version of the song underneath it, and the Leeds version is not only in time, it's in key. It's really? Just mad. Yeah, absolutely mad. Happy with our transfer window activity as a whole. An embarrassing transfer deadline day, though. Embarrassing. We started the day thinking we were getting Cody Gakpo, who every fucking club I think has been in for. We thought we were starting out the day getting him. Then we thought we were getting Baba Dieng and our lovely owner, Andrea Rajani, who's always tempted to leak information out because he's a bit of a rebel, decided to leak that everybody welcomed Papa Dieng to Leeds. Well, Papa Dieng is on the tarmac, about to get on the plane, but a plane's arrived from Nice because they want to sign him now, and he's fucking got on that plane and fucked off to Nice, so he's not coming. So then we ran around everywhere and ended up with Willy Gonto, who we've been looking at for ages. He'd already done a medical and everything else. We were buying him in January. We had to move that forward because we'd let Dan James go to Fulham on loan. So it was going to. So instead of having an extra forward, all we've done is just we've now got another forward, but we let a forward go, all on deadline day. And what happened to Papa Dieng? He went to Nice and failed his fucking medical. That's what. He's now back. He's now back at a club that he didn't want to be at, and they don't want him. Fuck him.
Wow. So of the other transfers, are you happy with the way it's going then?
Well, Siniestra is a replacement for Rafinha. I'm liking the signings. I'm liking the look of us. Jesse Marsh needs to just take a chill pill and just really realise that behaving like a 9-year-old child on the touchline is probably not going to get us anywhere. But other than that, yeah, I can see what we look like now, because when he first came in, it was just about keeping us up and I couldn't see what we looked like. So, you know, he's all right. He's all right. I'm happy. Right. This is going to be the very, very quick one. Leicester in. Wout Face, Alex Smithies. They're fucked. Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree.
Liverpool. Right, here we go. In Arthur Mello, Calvin Ramsey, Darwin Nunez, Fabio Cavallo. It's not a lot of money spent there.
No. Well, the player we really wanted, we've got to wait a year for, Jude Bellingham. and they just wouldn't move on him, Dortmund. So for me, I mean, there's so much doom and gloom from Liverpool fans. They're doing my head in, and it's almost like you're behaving like spoilt brats. You can't win every game. You can't be up there every season. It may be a transition season. We may struggle to get top four even this year, given the improvements of the other teams around us. But it's, where are we? We're still in September. It's like people just need to get a grip. You know, we got properly pounded the other night, and they just weren't at the races.
Yeah.
I think what's happened is as well, I think it is a hangover from last season. I think there are fitness issues with a lot of the players, and also we've just got these dreadful litany of injuries in midfield. So, you know, it's just going to take time. And Darwin Nunes didn't help the cause by getting sent off second game. But equally, it's just early doors. And, you know, every team will have a bit of a slump at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're right on the Bellingham point, because you see, when we lost Vincent Kompany, we didn't sign a replacement for him immediately. And we really, you know, we didn't win the league that season, and our defence looked very shaky. And then we got Diaz the next season and things changed. I mean, there is an argument for, because Liverpool do need a new midfield in a sense, yeah. You know, and I think there is a strong argument for just being patient and going, yeah, okay, we'll get Bellingham next year.
But that's how Klopp operates. He waits for the right player. He never just goes out and buys anyone.
That's what he did with Van Dijk.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. No, no, I think it's the right... Well, funnily enough, I was watching the Liverpool game out the corner of my eye and with a Liverpool fan, and he was, you know, he was like, oh, fuck. And he was just like, you know, really pissed off about it. And I made the point. I said, look, mate, before Klopp, for a start, that game's not happening because you're probably not in the Champions League. But even if you are... You go over to Napoli. The Napoli stadium is half full. You take like maybe 1,000 fans, and it's pretty much a faceless Champions League group game. He's been with you 7 seasons. You've got a sold out away allocation, and the stadium is fucking sold out because they want to watch your team. So it's progress, man. Progress.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's well, look, let's move. Well, speaking of progress, let's move forward. Man City transfers: Manuel Akanjani, Sergio Gomez, Calvin Phillips, Stephen Ortega Moreno, and some cunt called Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, yeah, it's brilliant.
For you.
He says, as he reclines in his smoking jacket.
I still can't believe this is the team that I supported from you know, an early age when we were shit. When you see players like Akanjani come in, I mean, I saw him in midweek in the Champions League, and it's just like, I mean, he just slotted in, and I just couldn't believe it. It was just like, you know, there's another one. He's good. And Haaland is, you know, I think what's happened here, and I don't know whether Pep's going to stay or not, but it's almost like the way to solve Pep's restlessness is like, don't worry, Pep, we'll just get you a new team, you know. So it's almost like he's managing, it's a new challenge for him now, because it's like,
absolutely,
fit Haaland in, we change the way we play,
yeah,
you know. And I think, you know, and I love Sterling, love Jesus, but I think, you know. And it's Alvarez, by the way, in there. I mean, Alvarez looks like a player. And you sort of feel like they're upgrades. You know, Haaland is an upgrade and Alvarez is an upgrade. And that's no disrespect to Sterling and Jesus. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And it's exciting to watch Haaland. You know, it's one of those, as a fan, you just think, yeah. And I want Phillips to play. I feel for Phillips. I hope it's not going to be what we're talking about earlier, a Scott Parker, Steve Sidwell kind of scenario where he... You know, he doesn't get a minute. Because they can't just have him on the bench as a Rodri backup. That's my fear.
Well, he needs minutes between now and November, or he's not going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, you've won the league twice without a centre forward, and now it's get a centre forward, and yeah, let's you know, let's jiggle it up a little bit, play a different way. I have to say though, I've really loved seeing Guardiola talking about Haaland, and basically Guardiola just putting his hands up and going, I haven't done anything.
Yeah. It's
fuck all to do with me. Like, I've done, like, since he got here, we've literally given him a kit. That's it. That's fucking it. You know what I mean? It's like, he's just got on with it. Like, yeah. You know, just like, just let me bang the goals in, Gov. That's all I fucking give a shit about. He's already, at his age, he's already well ahead of anybody else at that age in Champions League goals as well. Ruud van Nistelrooy, by his age, was the leader after at age and amount of games, and he'd scored 20. Haaland's got 29. So, you know, he's probably going to be Champions League all-time scorer as well. If he stays in the Premier League long enough, he'll beat Shearer, but I don't think he'll be in the Premier League long enough.
No.
But then again, it could be one of those transfers where, and this will be a test for City as well, it could be one of those transfers where, like Mbappe going to PSG, oh, it's a stepping stone to Madrid. And Haaland, it's a stepping stone to Madrid. But with Mbappe, and now, and maybe, could we see, like, the actual world football power structure changing? And people like Haaland, you know, Haaland staying at City instead and going, do you know what? I fancy Shearer's record. I fancy staying here and, you know, having a fucking statue built of me. You know, because you go, yeah, go to Madrid, brilliant. But you'll just be another player who played for Madrid. That's it.
I mean, I think that's a similar thing. Yeah, I think that's a similar thing they can persuade Guardiola with, which is like, you know, there's Fergie's record. You're going to have to stay around a long time to beat that. He could be out with Cruyff, basically.
Yeah, but first notch on the bedpost is three Premier Leagues in a row.
Yeah.
That's equaling it. Then it will be, right, now you've got to get the record. Now you've got to be out in front.
Yeah.
You know, beat the old Soaps fucking record. Yeah. Right, next up. Is the wonderful, sorry, what am I talking about? Next up, the scum. Martin Dubravka, Anthony, Casemiro. Yeah, first team that I've mentioned who've signed players with one name because it's the arrogance of the scum. Lisandro Martinez, Christian Eriksen, and Terrell Malacia. Does anybody give a shit?
No, but I think Ten Hag is good. And I think, you know, much as I, although, two things I say about Man United. You know, he's pulled him into shape. But last night, before the game kicked off, I was saying, now we're going to start seeing Man United drop points. Because as soon as they start playing Thursday, Sunday, and get into that cycle, that's when they'll start dropping points.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, they're good.
I'd tell you what, and this is hats off to Ten Hag at this point, and I, you know, obviously not to Man United, but hats off to Ten Hag. They're not playing Ajax football. They're not playing Ten Hag football. Because he's like, even in pre-season, they were playing Ten Hag football, and he was saying, no, you do not pass long, you pass short, and he was banging it into him, and it's taken him two games to go, yeah, fuck that. We just need some fucking points here, or I'm not even going to be here long enough to enforce what I want to do, enforce my beliefs and my style. So I think that is actually on the back burner, and I think that's very, very clever. I think that's very perceptive, because the likes of Van Gaal and Mourinho and all the rest of it, no, it's my way or the highway, and it didn't work. And I think Ten Hag, whilst changing his style, he's not changing his discipline, which is, right, we were outrun, you know, 11K by Brentford. He has the entire squad doing an 11K run the following day, which he ran with them. Yeah, that's fucking quality. You know, Man United or not, that is fucking quality management. Mm. So, you know, fair play. Unfortunately, that is part one. We are, however, going to be back with part two, and it won't be involving the scum. So we can pick up part two. So we've done Man City, we've done Man United. So next up, we'll start the next podcast with Newcastle United. Sorry, Club 911. Sorry, Saudi Arabia's transfer business. We've got War Club back. Yes, and your third kit, your away kit, is the Saudi Arabian national kit. It's just the fucking same kit. So fuck off with your fucking war. We've got War Club back. Fucking hell. It's only a matter of time till we get half time beheadings and stonings.
On that bombshell.
Yeah, I can't stop myself. As always, let's fuck it off and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you.
Cheers, Dave. Cheers, David. See you later, guys. Bye bye.
See you next time.